This morning we are going to be in Acts chapter 27. We might sneak into the first verse of chapter 28, but this is one of those passages where God just kind of deals with me where I'm at, and I think He probably does the same thing to you. It's just we never know how God is dealing with each other, and sometimes we just feel like we're the only one going through it when we're not. And so today we're going to look back at Paul in the midst of a storm. And so we're going to start reading in chapter 27, verse 13. So if you would read along with me. "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to the sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head of wind arose called a Euryclidon, excuse me. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. And now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we had, that we would be saved, was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic, about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were drawing near some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head, from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. In all, there were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach on it, to which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before You. And Lord, we look at this passage and we see what they went through. But Lord, today I pray that You help us to see what we're going through. Lord, that You speak to us. You change us, You mold us, You make us. Help us to be what You desire us to be. We thank You for Your Word. We know it's alive. We pray You use it this day. In Your name we pray. Amen. This is one of those passages that, like I said, it just seems to hit so many times in life. We all go through storms of life of different kinds, different levels. This storm was a storm that lasted 15 days. And it was such a storm. It wasn't just a wind-picking up type of storm. At one point, it tells us that they took cables and they run them out and put them underneath the boat to keep the ship from breaking apart. And it lasted for 15 days. And even the sailors, those people that lived out on the sea all the time, they were afraid. They were looking to escape. So this was not just your average, everyday storm. This was a hard storm, and it was a long storm. But today I want us not to focus on the storm so much as I want us to focus on Paul's relationship with God. Because you're going to face a storm. I'm going to face a storm. Maybe you're in the storm, maybe you just came out of a storm, but even if you just came out of one, you're getting ready to go back into another one. That's just the way it works. If you are standing for God, then you will face the storms of this world that Satan's going to throw at you. How are you going to get through them? They took loss. They lost the tackle. They lost eventually the ship, all their food. They lost it all. So how did Paul make it through this? I want to look first at what he does. Paul began to rely on God in the midst of the storm. You know, so many times you and I, when we face a storm, our first thing we do is we look at the storm. Last night when I went out, just before I went to bed, I took the dogs out and I look out and I'm standing out there and I see the lightning flashing to the west. And I thought, well, that's pretty, as long as it's a long ways away. And I could stand there and I could look at it and I could see it flash and I might even see a bolt every now and then. And I thought, you know, that's just God's creation. That's just something that God created. And yes, it's beautiful because I'm in Stockton and that storm was at least Nevada probably, or at least El Dorado, but it wasn't here. And so I had no worry about that storm. Sometimes that's the way we are. We don't worry about the storm when it's on somebody else. That's where we get to be. And it's not a selfish thing. It's just we have enough problems of our own right here. I have enough problems of my own that I don't need to focus on the problems that El Dorado or Nevada has. And so I don't think too much about that storm. But you know, in the middle of the night when that lightning cracked and I almost sat up in bed, I thought a little bit more about that storm. And that's what happens is I did not prepare myself going in to the night that storm, because I'm thinking, okay, it's to the northwest, it's gonna go that way, and I'm not gonna have to deal with it. And then in the middle of the night, it starts cracking and popping, and I can hear the rain coming down, and I'm thinking about the things in my yard and the trees that are having limbs snap off of them in the backyard, and I'm thinking of all these things that I'm going to have to deal with because now I'm in the middle of the storm. Paul done something before this storm even took place that made it possible for him to deal with it. Going into this storm, he had a relationship with God. He says that the God whom he belongs to and the God whom I serve, that didn't just happen in the storm. You know, there's a lot of times, probably more than we want to admit, that we wait and call on God when we're in the storm. Paul belonged to God before. He served God before he ever got on the boat. Before the storm ever came up, Paul was serving God. Why do we wait till the storm happens to think it's, oh, this is affecting me now, what can I do? That's the way we deal with the storms of life. The storms that Satan throws at us, we don't think anything about them until the thunder and lightning crack right where we're at. Until Satan attacks us, until I begin to struggle, till life begins to fall apart, that's when I start thinking about my relationship. That's when I start calling out to God. God, I want you to, I need you. Do what we start doing that when the storm hits. Paul had the relationship far before the storm ever came. And this wasn't just a relationship that was superficial. And you may hear that word a lot today because God's really been dealing with me at that. Too many times, our relationship with God is superficial. It's that token relationship that we just, that's what we do. Paul did not have that kind of relationship. This was a storm that had everybody else scared and everybody else thought they were going to die and they were going to do anything else, leave everybody else on the ship and protect myself. It was that bad of a storm. And Paul said, don't worry about it. Paul said, the God that I belong to, the God that I serve, He's already taken care of it. He's the master of the storm. Too many times, our superficial relationship that we have with God, when we get in that storm and we call on Him, we think we're going to have the same response that Paul had. It doesn't work that way. Because if all I have is a superficial relationship with God that just shows everybody else the outside that looks good, but there's no depth to it, there's no personal relationship to it, then it's probably not going to help me out in that storm. Paul relied on that relationship. He didn't just call out on it. He relied on that relationship to know that God was going to take care of him. It was faith. It took faith to rely on God. To take that meal and then throw your next meal in the ocean. How many of us have that type of faith? How many of us rely on God so securely that we could be doing what Paul did? Okay, I'm going to take this meal and I'm going to throw the next meal in the ocean because God's going to take care of me before I need that. We don't have that type of faith. We have that Sunday morning, Wednesday night faith that just is there to make me comfortable. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is not to make you comfortable. It's not to make me comfortable. When it is, when I do that, when I use a relationship with God just to make me comfortable, then who is it about? It's about me. And the relationship is not about me, it's about Jesus. It's about honoring Him, it's about glorifying Him. Paul relied on Him. He walked with Him, he talked with Him, he communicated with Him. He listened when God communicated back. He didn't just sit there and say, I'm a Christian, it'll all work out. But he goes on in the storm. We see something else about Paul's relationship. And that's that in the middle of the relationship, in the middle of this storm, which takes place at the same time, he begins to thank God for things in the storm. I don't know about you, but that's really hard for me to do. It's hard for me to thank God for things in the middle of the storm. They had food and Paul took it and he told everybody what was going to happen and he took and he broke the bread and he thanked God. He thanked God for the little things. I mean, this was just one meal. For 15 days, this was just one meal. It was something that everybody took for granted. They had plenty there because they ended up throwing the rest of it overboard. So Paul, because he trusted God, because of his relationship with God, he was able to thank God for the little things in the storm. Do you thank God for the little things in the storm? Now, there's a lot of times when I say, God, I am so grateful. I thank you that I know you're going to get me through this storm. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to look at things in the storm and realize that there are blessings in the storm. Too many times I want to just complain about the storm. I want to focus on the storm instead of seeing that when I'm going through something, God has blessed me with a wife that loves me, and I don't understand why. A church, friends, family, God has blessed me with so many things, and what I do is instead of focusing on the blessings, I start focusing on the storm. You know, when that lightning cracked last night and I woke up, I'm thinking about the rain coming down and are my downspouts aimed away from the house, and I'm thinking about all this instead of thinking about the fact that I have a house. I'm safe and dry. I ate before I went to bed. I'm going to eat when I get up. We think about the storm too much instead of blessing Him, thanking Him for the things that He gives us in the storm. When we start looking for those blessings in the storm, we will see more and more of the blessings and less of the storm. It goes on, and not only does he have the relationship before, and not only does he rely on it during, and not only is he thankful for things in the storm, but he takes a step farther and he encourages people in the storm. Paul is in this storm. He is probably beaten and weathered and wet in the storm as well. And here's everybody else scared. And he could go down underneath the ship and he could probably hide in the dry. He's one person out of 270-some people. He could probably find a place. But what does he do? He goes and he talks to everybody he can. He talks to the sailors. He talks to the soldiers. He talks to the other people on the ship, probably other prisoners on the ship. And he encourages them in the middle of his storm. Is that something that we do? Does our relationship with Jesus Christ cause us to encourage other people when they're in a storm while I'm in the storm? Too many times I focus on my storm, and so I don't see Salvador's storm. So how can I encourage him if I'm focused on mine? But God taught me a long time ago, and I don't do this all the time, but God taught me a long time ago that if I will take my eyes off of my storm and focus on someone else's storm, and I seek to minister to them, taking my eyes off my storm relieves a lot of my pain. And it also gives me an opportunity to bless someone else that's going through their storm. Paul did that. Can we do that? Can we encourage those other people in the storm? So as we look now, I want us to do something, and this is going to kind of jump completely away from my notes, but that's just too bad. You're just going to have to deal with that. Why did all of this happen? What's the purpose of this storm? We know that God says this angel told Paul that he had to go before Caesar, and so he was going to survive. And so the ship could have very easily just made it through the storm and went on to where Paul stood before Caesar. But the ship wrecked by an island called Malta. You go on in, and it says, now when in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 1, it says, now when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta. They The ship's broke up. They're swimming to shore. They're floating on pieces of the ship to shore. And they get there and there's this island called Malta. And on that island called Malta, there was several people that needed help. They were sick. They had so many different diseases. And once they realized that God was with Paul, they began to bring the sick people to Paul, and all of those people were healed. He wasn't planning on going there. He would not have went there had the ship not been wrecked in the storm. Think about this for just a moment. When you're going through your storm, we think of it as a problem. But the people on the island of Malta saw it as a blessing. Sometimes God uses a storm to get you to a place where He can bless other people. And you and I fight the storm. We fight the storm when the whole time is God is going to use Paul on Malta. Because the relationship with Paul had would affect the people on Malta. But Paul was going to have to go through a storm first. What's the purpose of the storm besides just to get him to Malta? Man, what a test of faith. Do you look at the storms to test your faith? Hey, maybe God's just testing my faith. That's not how I look at them. It's probably not how you look at them. It's like, man, it's just part of life. It's part of the struggles that we have to go through. We live in a broken world. And yes, that's true. But there is a purpose for everything. And God wants to use that storm that you don't want to be in, that I don't want to be in. He wants to use that storm for His purpose. To test your faith, to strengthen your faith, and then to show others what real faith is. You know, there's a lot of times when I'm going through that storm, if people look at my faith, they're not going to see much. Unfortunately, that's the way it works. But here, Paul, they see his faith. He gives thanks in the middle of the storm, and they see that. And it says, and they were all encouraged. What were they encouraged about? The storm was still going on. The ship was going to be wrecked. But they were encouraged because of something. And it wasn't the fact that they had a meal. It wasn't the fact that the storm would eventually be over. They were encouraged because they saw this man's faith. And his faith was strong enough that it changed his actions. And when it changed his actions, they thought, that's what I want. When people look at you in the storm, are they encouraged by your faith? Unfortunately, there's a lot of times in my life that they're not encouraged by my faith. They might hear my words, and they might hear some cliches, some things that we say that sound really good. But man, is it something you can step out on? Is it something that they see in your life that they want? That's the kind of faith that brings you to Malta. Had Paul had a token relationship with God, that sacrificial relationship with God, what would have happened? We don't know. We can't even guess. But I'm pretty sure it probably wouldn't have ended up on Malta. That relationship, where does it come from? God brought me to this verse earlier this week. It wasn't going to be a part of this message until I looked up there, and it was part of our verses that we quoted this morning. It's in Romans chapter 5, Verses 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's what Paul had. That's what Paul had. Having been justified by faith. Justification is when you stand before God just as if you didn't sin. And none of us will ever be able to do that apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where that relationship that Paul had before the ship sailed, that's where it started. He had been justified by faith. He had a relationship where he had given his heart to God, and that changed his life. It didn't just change his life, it changed his standing before God. God looked at him, God forgave him of his sins. He was justified by his faith in Jesus Christ. His faith was not in the ship. His faith was not in the ropes under the ship. His faith was not in the sailors or the soldiers or the centurion or anybody else. But his faith that justified him was in a God that he belonged to. Do you belong to God? Too many times, our superficial relationship flips that around. And we think God belongs to us. And if that's where you're at, then one of these days, when the ship wrecks, you're not going to find yourself on Malta. You're justified by faith with that relationship. And we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I give you a peace, not as the world gives you, but it's a peace that only I can give you. And that's to understand that no matter what this world throws at you, no matter what kind of storm you go through, you will have a peace with Jesus Christ that lasts for all eternity. He's not worried about the storm. This is a 15-day storm versus eternity with God. That's the peace that he had. Now, he was given extra peace because the angel told him that not even a hair of the head of anyone on this ship is going to fall out. But that peace was built on the first peace, the relationship and knowing that he was justified by his faith. And that was the peace that God gave him through Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace where we stand. The grace given to us comes through faith. There's no way you can deserve it. Well, I have faith, so I deserve it. No, it doesn't work that way. Grace is given to us by God. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe and we understand who He was, what He did, what He's going to do, what He's doing daily as He intercedes for us at the throne room of heaven. We stand in that grace. We have access to it through our faith, but we stand in that. And it says, and rejoice in the hope. I want to read that all together, but I want to stop at that last point. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Do you rejoice? Paul is in the middle of a storm and he's rejoicing. He's thanking God. When I'm in my storm, I don't think about the fact that I stand in grace. I don't think about the fact that I need to rejoice in the hope that one day that eastern sky is going to split, and when it does, Jesus Christ is going to come back and take me home. That's the hope that I have. And it's not a, I hope this happens. It's the understanding that in the future it's sealed. I'm done. I'm done. It's a done deal. That's the hope I have in the glory of God. Not for me, but for the glory of God. Verses 1 and 2 of Romans 5 explain the relationship that Paul had in the midst of his storm. That's not superficial. That's not a part-time relationship with God. That's not an acquaintance of knowing who God is. And that's not just knowing what God's done. That is knowing God. That is believing on Him. That is trusting in Him. That is everything that He's called us to do. And in that we have hope in the midst of the storm. When you face your storm, do you have that hope? Is your relationship superficial? Is it just something you do? Is it just somehow you check off a box? I hope not. But I can't say for you, and you can't say for me. But what we have to understand is that as a Christian, those of us that have given our life to Jesus Christ, that have surrendered our will to His, there are people out there in the storm that need encouragement. They need to see real faith. They need to know. I'm sure out of that number of people, there are a lot of those people that did not know the true God. But Paul's stance in the middle of that 15 days at least gave them an opportunity to see. They were never going to go to a meeting of the way. They were never going to assemble together and read the Scriptures and hear about Jesus. They were sailors and soldiers and people that were never going to have anything to do with God. But on that day, those 15 days, they saw a glimpse of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. There are people that you work with. There are people that are in that storm out there with you and me that they need to see what it means to have a faith in Jesus Christ that will get me through the storm. But not just get me through the storm that is there to have a peace with God through all eternity. They need to see that. And the only way they're going to see it is in us. My prayer today is that we would not be superficial in anything, but we would seek to glorify and honor God with every aspect of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You for Your love that sent Jesus Christ to the cross that we might be justified. Lord, we thank You for grace, for mercy, for all You are. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to seek You. Help us to know You more, to love You more. God, do not let us be satisfied with where we're at. Lord Jesus, move in us. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Don't let us walk out of here having another day at church. God, if You don't change us, we're not going to change. And Lord, we need the change. Lord Jesus, move. Move among us. In Your name we pray. Amen.